Matthew chapter 12. You got it? Say amen. Verse 22. And so we go to a text and you understand. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind, dumb, and Jesus healed him. Insomuch the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Well, wouldn't it be great when we were touched by the Lord if our vision got a heavenly vision? You know, we look at the world. It changes us. We talked about this morning. When God designs our life, he lays it all out. And I know we don't fulfill what God's laid out. But as he plans for our salvation and our understanding and our development, and we get to that point where the Holy Spirit comes to us and draws us, whether we get saved or not is up to us. God does not force himself. But when we get saved, it ought to change the way we look at the world. And by the way, if we get in the Word of God, it'll change the way we look at the world. And Jesus said that to his apostles, didn't he? He said, you know, you can discern the sky. You know, red at night is what? Fisher's delight, sailor's delight. Red in the morning? Okay, sailor's warning. So we know that, right? How many of y'all didn't know that? That's okay, but on the boat, that's the rule. Some of y'all go fishing anyway, wouldn't you? But we understand we can discern the skies. We discern, you know, when the leaves start falling, the change of the seasons, even though it's a little different in Florida than everywhere else. But, you know, we can discern the seasons. We understand what's going on in the world. But as we look at prophecy and we look at what's happening in the world as Christians, as Bible students, we ought to be able to have a heavenly vision of what's happening. We ought to have a heavenly mindset. People, you know, with mixed reviews. You know, there are people who are opposed to the peace agreements in the Middle East. And the only reason they're opposed to it is because they don't like the president. If anybody else had signed it, it would be first, you know, front page worldwide news. But they don't like him, and so it's not a big deal. Well, I'm going to tell you, not only is it a big deal now, it's a big deal because it fulfills prophecy. Because we're getting closer and closer. It's working in our favor toward rapture. And it's exciting. And so we discern the skies. We discern the times because we are born again. This man could not see, and Jesus gave him vision. And when we got saved, we should receive the vision of God as Bible students, as Christians who walk daily in the faith. But not only did he affect his vision, what else did he affect? He affected his ability to speak. You know, when we get touched by the Lord, it ought to change the things we say. It ought to change the way we talk, the way we communicate. We talked about communication the other day in the Tower of Babel, if you recall, how the Tower of Babel fell and God said, I tell you what we'll do to divide them is we'll take away their ability to communicate. And that's what happens. And so here, Jesus restores to this man vision and communication. And as Christians, we ought to be experts on biblical Christian vision and communication. And all the people were amazed, verse 23, and they said, is not this the son of David? And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. How many of you would be upset if somebody got better? If they got healed? If they were freed from their demons? If they got off the addiction that they were on, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, if they could leave behind that thing which chained them down and be free to live a life, they got mad. They got mad that Jesus healed this man. That ought to tell you what kind of people they are. Well, just look at what people love and what they hate, and that'll tell you what kind of people they are. Book of Revelation, remember he said, this thou hast, that thou hatest the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He said, you hate what I hate. But then what was his question? Do you love what I love? But he said, you've lost your first love. So we ought to be identified by what we oppose and what we support. Our faith ought to design. People ought to be able to tell by what we oppose and what we support where our faith stands. Where our faith stands. I didn't say it vice versa. I said where our faith stands. We ought to stand for the right things and we ought to oppose the wrong things. We ought to stand with God always and with his word. Verse 25, Jesus knew the thoughts of those Pharisees. And he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Heartbreaking, isn't it? Never thought we'd be here, did we? By the way, it's not going to go away on Tuesday. It's not going to go away and next month with this division is going to destroy this country. Because we have lost the moral compass when they set aside Christianity and the Bible as the foundation, as the fundamentals of where our law and order stands. And so I'm sad to say that we have lost the America we love. I love America. I don't want to live anywhere else. I still think America is the greatest place on earth. But culturally and socially and morally, it's lost. We are the light in the darkness. We're not supposed to leave the darkness and be the light where the light is. No, we're supposed to shine here. This is our land. And so we're supposed to bring the biblical values and bring the Christian message and bring the heavenly hope to our land. How does it happen? One at a time. When we catch the vision and communicate it. He started with that, didn't he? The blind and the dumb. When we catch the vision and we communicate it effectively, souls will be saved and lives will be changed. And that's what we're supposed to do. Each of us, all of us, I know we talked about this morning, everybody has their own role, but that's one of the roles we're all supposed to be about. Look, no matter what part of your body it is, it depends on a couple of things. It depends on oxygen and nutrition. I often say your brain needs three things to survive: water, oxygen, and what's the other one? Sugar. Hey, can you eat that cake? Your brain needs it. Amen. But your brain needs that. Well, I say that because the brain requires glucose, oxygen, and fluids or water. The blood is what gets it there. And you know that every cell in your body is saturated or infiltrated with that blood because that's how cells stay alive. Your vessels have to get there. Your arteries have to get there. And the veins have to draw it back out. And so it works that way. Everything, every part of your body. And so that blood that circulates, it goes everywhere. They might be different parts and they might have different functions, but they have one thing in common. Praise the Lord, the blood, the blood, the blood. Boy, the church can't function as a body unless we got the blood. I'm glad to have people in our church, but I don't want anybody in our church that's not born by the blood of Jesus Christ. Born again, washed in the blood, every cell in the body is. That'll preach right there, won't it? Amen, that's good. We're different parts of the body, but we all need the blood. Now, he accused Jesus of casting out devils by being a devil, and Jesus said that can't work. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. We're seeing it. We've seen it through history. We're seeing it happen again today. And we must be the one crying in the wilderness, if that's what it comes to. We must take a stand. We must be the salt and the light. He told us all this a long time ago. He said, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Okay, so he's drawn it from being a kingdom to now being a city to now being a house. Let me tell you, it can't happen in a church. No, we can't have conflict and be divided. Like it won't stand long. It won't stand. It might be able to survive a few wars and a few little battles, but eventually it's just going to fall. Can't stand. A home. Can't stand. We have to be able to get along. Again, vision and communication is imperative in a home that we're able to get along and not be divided, but have the same vision and have the same heart and have the same mindset. Must be. The parents have to communicate that vision to the children so the children can get it. Because if they don't get it, you're in trouble. The idea that we'll let them make their own decision. You know, we're to the point now where they say, it used to be, well, are your children Christians? Well, are they go to church? Well, I'm going to let them make their own decision when they grow up. Now they decided they can decide if they're boys or girls when they're 5 years old. No, they don't make that decision. That decision was made for them. And by being born into my house, the decision of whether or not we go to church is made for you. Now, don't believe they don't ask. They ask every time. I've been a kid. I know what it's, you know, play and have fun or go to church. Those are your options, right? Do I have to go? Are we going? Can I stay home? This decision's already been made. You don't need to ask next time. It's already been made, but they'll ask again. It'll be all right. The vision has to be the same in the whole house. The vision, parents need to be together on this. That's why it's so important that when we start dating, that we date people that either have the same faith or they come to the same faith, so that we can have that unity, that harmony in the home. Look, it doesn't always happen, but it's better if it does, especially when we have children, because then we want the children to be saved. I want my children to go to heaven, don't you? It's important. If Satan, verse 26, Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Wake up, see what's going on around you. Boy, what a day to be alive. People are just not paying attention to what's going on all around us. Verse 29, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind that strong man, and then will he spoil his house? And by the way, as I look at this historically in America, this is the church. This, you know why America was so strong? Because of our faith. You know why it came to be? Because of our faith. You want to destroy America? And by the way, the communists know that. This is not a new doctrine. This is a 100-year-old doctrine of how to destroy this country. And it begins by taking away faith and dividing the people. And it's worked. It's worked because parents said, I'll not force it on my children. Because churches said the children don't belong in the sanctuary. And I'm glad we don't do that. Look, kids can be disruptive and distracting, but they need to be in here. And they need to sit still and listen. Turn around, sit down. That's what it takes. But what happened? We took prayer out of school. We took the Bible out of school. And we told them they can't even pray at a football game. It's worked. Their design, their strategy worked to take God out. And now we've got a nation divided. They bound the strong man, and now they're spoiling the house. That's Bible. And that's what's happened. And I say they bound, but we are the church, and I refuse to be bound. I refuse to be tied down. I refuse to be shut down. He that is not with me is against me, verse 30. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Me, talking of Jesus, he that gathereth not scattereth. And it's our business to do two things. Number one, be with him, be on his side. And number two, gather. Gather. Gather together like tonight and gather souls to Christ. That's our job. Verse 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Understand the context of these two verses. He is talking to the Pharisees who just accused him of casting out devils by the power of Satan. And he says, when you said that, you spoke blasphemy against the Holy Ghost and it won't be forgiven. That's what he's saying. He was talking to them. And he laid it down. He said, it won't be forgiven, not here and not there. You'll answer for that one. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. The tree is known by its fruit. Not by what it says it's going to do. What it does. You ever buy a plant at the hardware store, at the nursery? Anybody? Or online, or wherever you buy trees? Some guy on the side of the road said, here's an orange tree, and you bought it, and you took it home, and you planted it, and what came out of it? Hopefully not grapefruits, right? Or lemons. Well, he said it was an orange tree. And not what it says it is. How do you know when it's an orange tree? How are you going to be able to prove that it's an orange tree? Not by the little label at the store when the fruit comes out. We can say we're Christians all we want to, but how are people going to know? Because we wear a t-shirt, bumper sticker, cross? No, by what we do, by the results of our lives, by what happens in our lives, by our heart, by our words, by our vision. He already said that. Oh, generation of vipers, verse 34. How can you be an evil, speak good things, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh? How many of you have ever said, I didn't mean to say that? Anybody ever said that? No, you didn't mean to say it, but you were thinking it. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Now, I can understand sometimes we fumble over words, and I do that sometimes. Say the wrong thing, but you know a statement where it comes from when it comes out. Out of the abundance of the heart. Verse 35, a good man out of the treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And he's talking to those Pharisees. Y'all said it. Don't try to back up and say, well, I didn't mean that. No, he says it was in your heart. You said what you meant. And it will be judged. You'll stand before God one day. Verse 37, by thy word shalt thou be justified, and by thy word shalt thou be condemned. Our words matter. What we say matters. The political candidates, what they say matters. Our country, our government, our leaders, our pastor, our deacons, our church, the words matter. We're going to give an account one day. The things that he said here were a direct response to the Pharisees. But what he said to them is true for us. Our words matter. And we say what's on our heart. How do we change what's in our heart? Prayer, Bible study. How many of you ever had an evil thought in your heart? How many of you knew better than to say what you were thinking? Self-control. It's not that I just don't want to say it. I don't even want to feel it. I don't even want it in my mind. I don't want it threatening to come out because I don't want it in there. So how do we deal with that? By prayer. By surrendering to God. And you know what? If somebody offends you, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Till you love them again. Pray for them. Till you're not angry anymore. Till you're not hurt anymore. Because if you don't, that evil seed remains. And one day, when given the opportunity, it's going to find its way out. And we'll give an account for that. A house, every kingdom, divided against itself, leads to desolation. Guys, we've got to pray for our country. More than that, we've got to make a difference. Make a difference. Be the light. Be the hope. Be the love. Show the forgiveness. Father, we thank you for this truth tonight, for your word. God, there are things that we struggle with. I pray that you will heal our hearts, that you will heal the pain and the wounds that cause us to have bad feelings. And God, cure it before it becomes something we must answer in judgment for. God, forgive our sins and make us useful. Help us to be compassionate and giving and loving and caring. God, we put America in your trust. We know you're in control. We've done our part, and we trust you with the outcome. Dismiss us now with your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.